Good morning.
Good morning.
If you'll pray with me for a moment. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord. Amen. I don't really like this gospel lesson. It's kind of tough to think about in this age of materialism that we live in. So I can identify with this rich young man in the story and sympathize as to why he walks away sad. He couldn't give away his possessions, and I'm not sure that I could either. But maybe that's the point of our story. I've wrestled with these words over the last few weeks. I continue to look for direction in God's direction in my life, and I wonder if following path A or path B, would either one of those mean that I should sell everything that I have? And that's hard for me to contemplate because I like my stuff. I like my books. I like my golf clubs, even though I don't hit them that great sometimes. Well, let's be truthful, most of the time. And I really like my house. And I like not having to walk to work because it'd be a long walk. And I really do wonder if I would ever be able to sell any of them in order to follow where God is leading me. So there's some issues that we face when we try to unravel this story. One of the first is, if we take Jesus' words about selling everything that we have too literally and think that we have to do it to do that to enter eternal life, that would be very difficult. We would be shocked. We would be disheartened, I believe. A drastic change in our life would have to occur. The second, maybe we don't take Jesus' words seriously enough and we ignore what's trying to be taught to us. We can always get lost in collecting more and more stuff. Baseball cards, coins, you name it, books. These are almost addictions for some of us. The different things that we collect or that we have to have. And I believe it was Malcolm Forbes back in the 80s that coined the phrase, "He who dies with the most toys wins." But that's not true. He who dies with the most toys is still dead. And he doesn't have those toys or treasures with him. So we can get lost and miss out on the grace of Jesus Christ and what he has for us in this story. As Christians, we always want to follow Jesus faithfully. Taking this message seriously might be sort of obvious to us. Well, duh. But when it comes to stories like this of the rich young ruler, how do we do that? How do we follow through? So maybe taking Jesus' message in this story might be looking carefully at our priorities in life. When Jesus challenges the man to sell all he has, it's a challenge about what matters in life. Is Jesus the most important thing to us? Or are there things that we own that are more important? Do we love Jesus enough to be giving away everything that we have for him? So Jesus is challenging us to reorganize our priorities. To reorganize our priorities around him, our love for him, and our trust in him rather than in the things of this world. There might be times that might mean that we should give something away. But it also could mean that there are times that we look for a sense of who we are and what we're worth. What gives our lives true meaning? It should be our relationship with Jesus rather than the accumulation of material possessions. We do like to think that we are good people. However, if Jesus' standard of good means giving everything away to help others and totally trusting in him to provide for us on a day-to-day basis, then who of us can live up to that? Remember in our gospel lesson today, the man's question at the start is, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? In verse 17. I believe that he was thinking somehow he could work his way into eternity. Remember, he said he had followed all the commandments through his youth. He was thinking that he could earn his way in. However, Jesus shows him and us that if we want to work our way into eternal life, then it will cost us everything. But again, it's impossible for us to work our way into that eternal life. We can't do that. If we're trying to work our way into eternal life as good people, are we able to be so good that we can give away everything we have to others to provide for them in their poverty? Can we rely on God giving us what we need from one day to the next? So like the person in the story, this would probably be the point that most of us would also choose to walk away, dejected. Then we turn to the disciples. They're as perplexed by what they witnessed as the rich young ruler. So they ask him, then who in the world can be saved? In verse 26. And then Jesus gives us the good news when he says, humanly speaking, it's impossible, but not with God. Everything is possible with God. So Jesus is telling us that it's impossible for us to work our way into eternal life. However, what is impossible for us as humans to do is entirely possible with God. And only God has that power to give us a life that's stronger than death, a life which will last forever. This is one way that we can understand grace, that God is doing for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Again, it's impossible for us to work our way into eternal life, so God does the impossible for us by doing what's needed and then giving it to us freely as a gift. So the good news of our story is that Jesus came to do the work of salvation for us. It's impossible for us to sell all we have and give it away, and it's impossible for us to live up to Jesus' standard of being a good person. And it's during those times that we need to remember that God did the impossible for us by sacrificing everything through Jesus Christ to save us and to give us that eternal life as the ultimate act of his grace. So we can find it hard to give up our stuff. But think of it like this. Jesus gave up a place in heaven. The one place that every religious person in history is trying to get to. He gave up all of his heavenly glory to be born as an humble and helpless baby in a manger. He gave up all his possessions and lived homelessly and unemployed, going throughout the kingdom, the earthly kingdom, to share the message. So Jesus does the impossible, gives up everything, including his life, went to the cross to die in our place. That's a tough act to follow. But it's an act that we are tasked to follow. So remember, what is impossible for us is never impossible for God, and that God makes it possible for us to live forever in eternal life because of the gift of grace through salvation. So as we, for whom God has gifted the eternal life, we're left with the question of how to take this teaching very seriously. I'm going to have to leave that up to each and every one of you to work out with Jesus yourself. It might mean that we do have to sell some of our possessions or give away some of our possessions to follow God as he calls us. It might mean reprioritizing our lives so that we find out just who we are, what we're worth, and the meaning of our lives in relationship with God. It might mean that we see what others see in us and what God sees in us. It might be seeing how God wants us to serve in our church, with our family, with our friends, and outside of that. It might even mean that we have to accept that we're not as good as we think we are, and that we have to trust God's grace through Jesus Christ. So no matter how we might interpret this story, one way we can all take this teaching of Jesus seriously is to live every day in the faith that with God, absolutely nothing is impossible. Amen.